Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Tea Time, the podcast, where we have real conversations on a holistic level ranging from business, personal self-development, and tactical business tips and strategies. Here we learn through the stories and journeys of other aspiring and accomplished people like yourself. And Daniel, I know you do many different things, so I'm going to allow you to just introduce yourself to the audience.
Right. So hi, everyone. My name is Daniel Francis. I am an entrepreneur and author. So under the entrepreneurship window, I am a leadership development coach with my parents' company, Rebit Limited. I own my own publishing company. That's One Momentum Publishing, where we publish books for persons. I also have a social media marketing agency, One Momentum Marketing, which I do with another partner of mine, and an event logistics company where we host events for individuals, among other little things in between. But so it's a mixed bag of things. There's a lot of things, but you know, I like to keep myself busy. And of course, I have my books, The Millennial Mind and The Millennial Experience. And my next one that's coming up, which is How to Write and Self-Publish as an Aspiring Caribbean Author.
Awesome. You have quite a lot of things going on, which we will dive into, and you'll share with us how you do so much.
Yeah.
Walk us through your author journey. So you mentioned you are launching your third book, mm-hmm. right? So walk us through your author journey from writing and publishing your first book,
yeah.
fast forward now to your third, while simultaneously founding a publishing company and putting on this event. Like,
yeah.
it's quite a mouthful, and it's really impressive. I must say it's really impressive. So tell
Thank
us
you.
All about that.
I mean, to me, the way my life worked out, everything just kind of happened in an organic way, where one thing led into the next thing, into the next thing. So, funny enough, I wanted to be a doctor, which obviously didn't work out, you know. So, mm-hmm. I couldn't commit to doing it. And as a result, I would have been introduced to personal development from my parents' company. I loved it. I realized that it was my calling. So I would have been certified mm-hmm. under them to become a leadership development coach. And of course, you're coaching, so you end up coaching people around the same age as you, which for me would have ended up being millennials. Right. So after doing that for a few years, I just sat down one day thinking to myself, how do I reach more people without like being in front of them? Because I found that when I coach someone, I can see the effect, the positive effect I'm having on their life. And when I asked myself that question, I don't know, probably God, the answer just popped into my head, write a book.
Yeah.
No, I don't know nothing about writing a book back then. That was never anything that, you know, was a dream of mine. I never had the idea of like, yeah, I definitely want to be an author. That was never a thing. It was never a thing. So the initial excitement was then met by, how the hell do I do this? I have no idea like where to start. But I think things were in a good position for me at that point, because that year I was trying to take reading books very seriously. So I had a auspicious goal of doing reading one book a week. And when I had the idea for the book, that was September. So at that point I had read maybe like 30 books at the time. They were all self-help books. They kind of played into the genre of the book that I was writing. So it kind of lined up in a way like, hey, you know, I've more or less done the groundwork on what I like in those type of books, maybe had an idea of how to write it and these kind of things. You know, I think when it is you want to do something and you don't know how to do it, you start doing the research. I read books on the topic. I did some courses. I tried reaching out to different authors. Some were more helpful than others. It felt like a big competitive ring when you ask questions. But after a while, I would have compiled all the information and I said, okay, let's get to writing. I think me being a coach really helped me at that point, because I'm good at sticking to like routines and these kind of things. So I would have written every morning for like an hour, maybe 2 hours, and was able to, I know. I'm a morning person. So that works for me. So I could get up the little extra hour, little 4 o'clock, a little 5 o'clock, it's quiet. Nobody bothering me. The birds chirping outside. Actually, the birds weren't even up yet. They still sleeping. So it was dead quiet. And it really did help me to get that book written. And I think I would have written it in about 2 months. And then took the last month to just do my own editing. And then I think this is where the difficulty started. I felt like all the information I found out there was more about yeah, put your book on Amazon, and yeah, you're from America and UK and these places, this is what you should do. But there was no information really on, hey, you're from the Caribbean, do this.
Of course.
And it felt like it was one of those situations where I had to just dive into the water and just figure out how to swim. What helped me with that was that I said, you know, I want this to be big. I want to put my all into it. So I would have invested a lot of money into it. I would have put a team together, you know, got a marketing person, an event person to help me with the book launch. I would have gotten, you know, I had a mentor who had authored some books. So he was kind of the person I was bouncing things off of just to get a general sense. Because again, I don't know what I was doing. You know, I had no idea when I crossed this threshold what it would be like. So things were running pretty smoothly. You know, I was pretty excited. Unfortunately, that would have been April 2020 when the book was supposed to launch. And that month was the month that COVID started to heat up in Trinidad and they locked
We
down
went into
borders.
lockdown.
Yeah, full lockdown mode. It's very terrifying because this is something I've invested a lot into, put a lot of work into it. Supposed to have a physical launch. It couldn't happen. They would say it's stay but home. So I took a week to just, I don't know,
Try to
panic,
figure out.
you know, and yeah, so I think I was really blessed that I had a good team. So the team was very excited and they were like, listen, we still have to make this happen. And we would have all come together and really said, okay, let's take all the aspects of the physical launch, let's make it a virtual launch. And that worked really well. You know, we had a studio, we still had a host, we had prizes given away, book reading, everything. All of these bells and whistles are the virtual, the physical, but in a
Any
virtual format.
physical.
And I think that honestly really helped it to reach more persons because from that streaming aspect, we got about 2,500 people to jump in. And again, people were home, they were scared, they didn't really have much
Exactly.
to do.
It was a good opportunity to capture people's attention because
Exactly.
now everyone is home, they're online. So as much as there wasn't that physical aspect, with physical, you still have to get people's attention to come out. But there's pros and cons to each, for
Definitely.
sure.
You know, so I like that the engagement was the reach was a lot higher. And we found that from that virtual launch and that the fact that everybody was home, as a millennial, you heard, oh, the millennial mind. I see some people posting about it. I see these good reviews. I'm not a big reader, but let me try it out. And that is what ended up happening. Of course, there were all the difficulties of bookstores were closed. All these other places were closed.
So that
And
wasn't an option.
no, so we had to literally deliver books. It was a whole delivery chain. I had friends coming in to assist, I had to pay an assistant, and we were just doing deliveries because that was honestly the only way to get books to persons. But it was an extraordinary experience. I had a goal of getting 1,000 books sold in the first year. We were able to meet that in the first, I think it was like 4 months, 5 months, or 3 months.
Wow, very
Yeah.
impressive.
And that kind of led into the next thing because you find that, and this is always the thing I have to explain to not even authors, just I think people who own businesses and
In general,
people who
to
want
have
to
a
be,
target.
yeah, who have a target audience and persons who want to be a niche leader in what they're doing. I think a book adds that level of credibility to say, hey, I put in the work to do this. I put it out into the world and people are now able to see my value, feel my value and say, okay, you know, when I think of marketing, I think of this person. When I think of personal development, I think of this person. And it's very hard to quantify the value of that. Obviously, I didn't know that wasn't my mindset at the time. I was just thinking, hey, millennials book, I do personal development. This book will help my business, or you know, whatever. But the actual things that were happening was just like, hey, I couldn't quantify this. You know, anytime somebody had something to do with millennials or personal development, they're calling me. I don't even know how to get my number, but they're calling me.
It's a great positioning too, that's for sure. So just to pause for a minute, right? Because you touched on quite a few things, and I want to go back to the first part, which is it's a good tool for positioning. And earlier you mentioned that you decided to write a book to make yourself accessible to more people through coaching, or maybe somebody might be able to afford your coaching. I want to reinforce that point by saying, like, I launched my workbook
right
a couple months before you did Millennial
Mind. I saw that, yes.
Yeah, and I did the blog post, and I that's when I noticed that you were like interested in writing a book. So I remember you from since way back when, and it's really amazing to see how much you've grown, how much you've accomplished. You did one, not one, but two, and you know,
yeah.
And I'm still yet to like update the workbook because that's on my to-do list for a while. But it's really good for consultants, experts in their field to package up their knowledge and put it into a book. It could be like a book to read like yours, or one that is like mine, where it's a workbook where you walk people through your framework. And honestly, for me, even with my experience, with the pandemic itself, there were times where many people couldn't do maybe a consult for whatever reason, but they were like, hey, let me check out your workbook.
Yeah.
And it slowly is like a really nice funnel to someone become a client, because they would start out with the book. Then they would do, in my case, I do VIP days, which is like workshops.
Yeah.
And that's a one-on-one workshop. And then from that workshop, they're like, okay, I'm ready to hire you to do the execution.
Definitely.
So it's a beautiful journey of relationship building with the client when you package up your expertise in a book.
And I want to add to
that. Like that.
I want to add to that. I tell, and again, I mean, to me, this is more on the self-help side, because there are different types of book. But like as a business owner, I don't know, your book is like the best version of a business card. You know, it's
so almost you said like that on LinkedIn.
Yeah, it's like your the introduction into your sales funnel. You know, people might see a post on your content and be like, oh, cool, you have a book, read the book. That book is now leading them into a journey of, okay, you know, I've learned more about them. Maybe I want to do more. Maybe I want to sign up for one of their courses. Same thing now, because even with back then when I saw your workbook, that led me to your TikTok. And I'm seeing all these TikTok videos and all, because you were doing content back then on how you get a an account in the States. I shared that with individuals because a lot of people were asking me how to do that. And, you know, that wouldn't have happened if I hadn't seen the workbook, you know? So we we don't see like that that value from having that book done. It's so invaluable. And not even just to the persons that are reading it and seeing it as a, as an individual, as a business owner, as someone who's just learning, putting in the work to like do a workbook or even a book. You have to get so detail oriented that you have to put in that research. You have to be sure about what you're writing. And through that process, you grow. Because I'm sure you experience that same thing when you're doing your workbook. You just have to make sure that everything is on point to the level that you want it to be.
It gives you a framework and a structure to work through. Even you are documenting your own framework.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of forces you to level up. Because you don't want to put out information that is just
half questionable.
Yeah, you know, because anybody can criticize it. Anybody can pull out something that isn't correct. So it forces you to now be like, okay, I want to be a leader here.
Yeah.
Let me actually put any work, because whatever I put here is going to be seen potentially by thousands of persons.
Yeah, a lot of people, and they could sit and go through it and critique it.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Fun fact. Also, fun fact. You said you were reading a lot of self-help books early in my 20s. That was something I used to enjoy doing. I used to go to the local library. And for some reason, I was just drawn to the self-help section.
Yeah.
And even that exercise, I look back and I realize how that made sense in my journey from then to now.
Yeah. Sometimes
so
I feel like
definitely said something there that resonated with me. Self-help books.
Sometimes I feel like a phony author, because I'm not really that big on nonfiction books and novels and stuff. So when all these authors are like dropping these big name authors, I'm just like, I don't really know, you know, because I am self-help is me. I haven't gotten into nonfiction yet. That's just me. So it's not like
The thing is, you have a niche, you know.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean you have to like make up stories. And
yeah.
I think that is something that we can also take away from this episode, and even from the conference, which we will get into, is that you don't, being an author doesn't mean you are someone who writes stories, or it doesn't mean you have to be really excellent at creative writing. Because some people think, well, I can't write, I shouldn't be writing a book, which there are also strategies for that. We could also dive into ghostwriters.
Yep.
But the point is that I think anyone can write a book,
but anyone.
I will get to that as well. I have a question for you on that. So can you share with our listeners the inspiration behind founding the publishing company? Because, okay, it's all well and good. I published a book, two books, three books. But why did you feel like you needed to now form a publishing company?
Yeah. So once the first book was out, I was inundated with questions from aspiring authors and even published authors trying to figure out what they need to do. So much so that it just became overwhelming to the point where I just started having free weekly webinars that eventually turned into monthly webinars. And the whole purpose of the webinar was, hey, this is what I did. This is how I did it. Here's some information that you need to know if you want to do this. Because I felt like I did not like, again, as I said before, the like how hard it was to find information for publishing here as a Caribbean author. And that struggle, I just didn't want anybody to experience that. So I just put out the webinars to just keep sharing the information. Until it got to a point where you had these aspiring authors saying, hey, Daniel, create a strategy for me. Hey, Daniel, can you do some of the aspects of the publishing for me, the editing, the this, the that.
And the marketing, right?
And the marketing. And it just got to this point where like, okay, let's just make this self-publishing company. And it would have started in 2021. I didn't even make a page. I didn't do it. I just had the business. And the persons who would have been in the webinars just would come from there, or they would refer someone. And that's where I was getting my business. Until this year, when I said, okay, you know, I want to put out this book. I want to do this book launch. I want to do this author conference. It's time now to put this self-publishing company out there. And then I would officially like made the page, the website and all that stuff this year. And the response has been crazy.
No, it's brilliant. It seems like it's a bunch of things that really built upon each other. And I don't know if that's where the name One Momentum came from, because it seems like everything is just building momentum, kind of like an avalanche
basically
of events. Because it's like, okay, I'm already having webinars, which is a form of events. I'm already training people. They're already having people to do this. So here comes the publishing company. Here comes the conference.
Yeah.
It just seems to be in so much alignment, and it just makes sense, right?
So I think, like, for me, life leaves breadcrumbs. I mean, I'm a, you know, religious person, so I would think God is basically putting things for me to see, and that's to help guide me into the next thing. And I think one of the key things he would have done is, like, right before I decided I wanted to put a book out there and even put out the sub-publishing company, I saw this post. I actually posted us on LinkedIn today, funny enough. It was a video about a woman saying that she's talking to her mentor, and she's telling her mentor, I want a bigger piece of the pie. Right? Okay. And the mentor was just like, I hear you, but really and truly what you should be aiming for is to eat from the garden. Right, and the mentor went on to explain that when you eat from the garden, you're basically eating the fruits. And then when you eat the fruits, you're dropping seeds. The seeds grow into more plants that bear more fruit that other people can get shade from, can get fruit from. And they're basically continuing the cycle. And I don't know, that just stuck with me. And I realized that for what I want to do, I need to be able to eat the fruit to give the seeds and then provide for other persons. Because right after I saw the video, I had a nice conversation. I got interviewed by someone who published a book because of one of the webinars I did. But then he was telling me that he shared the information from the webinar to others. And he had like four other persons who would have published because of that information. And I loved how it just branched out. And I said, this is how I need to do this. It needs to be like this. So when I was doing the planning for everything that was going to happen this year, it was with that in mind. So when persons see, all right, we have a Caribbean author village. It's just a community of authors who are all in one place. We're learning from each other. We're passing along information. We're promoting each other. You say, oh, that's great. But then you say, well, isn't there competition because they have publishers inside there? Hey, this is just an ecosystem.
No, it's community. And this we're is a all community. Here supporting each other.
Yeah.
So let me tell you something, right? In this build-up and this rollout to the conference, I myself have been impacted. I just find myself really contemplating on like, what do I want to do next? What do I want to write about next? Even before I did my business book, I mean, that's all business related, but I know that, like, you know, you've been through things, you've experienced a lot of things, you know, I'm a mom, etc. And I've always joked, like on Facebook, you know, I have so much stories to tell. I'm going to write a book. But it seems like this monumental task to really actually sit down now. Expertise is one thing, but then packaging up your experiences is like, whew, that's a task. But I have made the intention that I'm going to do it one day. Like, I know I'm going to do it one day.
Yeah.
But being surrounded by the content that you're putting out and this conference and having this one place that we could all come and congregate and just that energy of writing a book. I woke up this morning literally and I journaled it out like, okay, I'm feeling inspired to do this book. Let me at least start planning it, outlining it, etc., etc. So you really are doing a great thing here.
Thank you.
It never dawned on me that we don't have a community for Caribbean authors.
No, we really don't. I think a lot of what I do with this is just, I just think back to when I first wrote that first book. What did I need? I felt like I didn't have a community. Obviously, there were little pockets of ones, but it didn't feel like enough for me. I didn't have a community. I didn't have a space where I could have all the information in one place to just make informed decisions. And I didn't have specific information for like what you needed to do as a Caribbean author. And those were like what I used to then say, okay, let's create this. Because I want exactly what you're saying there. I want persons who are aspiring authors to be like, wow, there's so much information here. I can literally do this, you know? Yeah. Or just say, hey, I can come to this and I'm just inspired. I'm meeting persons that can help me. I'm learning so much that empowers me to be able to do this better. And I just feel like, hey, if I decide this is what I'm going to do, I have so much support to make it a reality. And I'm just so like happy to just see it happening. Because when people are talking in a group and answering questions and you have the persons who want to be authors lost and the group is just jumping in, I say, yes, this is exactly what we're going for. We had a discussion with one of the publishers in the group and he said, hey, you know, I'm feeling kind of bad because I post my work inside the group and, you know, you're a publisher, I'm a publisher, I don't want to be taking my work. I'm like, yo, this is an ecosystem. This is a community. I'm not here to gatekeep nothing. This is meant to be a resource for everyone. And you can't create that space where it is a resource if you're basically telling persons they can't do certain things that obviously help not only themselves, but the community, you know? And that is the energy that I keep towards everything. The group, the conference, even the book, you know? So I'm so excited when we have the conference to see all the different authors who
I can't wait to see all that. Yeah, I can't wait to see its manifest and what it looks like and meeting other authors. So you kind of segueing already into my next question is, what would you say in a nutshell, the mission here for you with Caribbean authors and books, the conference, the publishing, everything, like what would you say is your mission?
I'll say very generally is I want to open the doors to all the Caribbean islands so that we can be one Caribbean network. Because I find it difficult. We should be in a situation where, let's say, you are ready to put out your book. Your book can be in any island easily. You can get paid for your book from any island easily. There's a network of Caribbean authors who are just like cheering you on, pushing it out there, giving you the needed information. It should be easy because, again, we're all different islands and land masses and all these different things, but we're one Caribbean. So it's very strange to me that we don't have this set up in a way where it's seamless. You know, I have this real mission where I want to be able to say, hey, you have that book, let's put it everywhere and it's easy. For example, I have my book out now and I've still not been able to say, okay, someone can go on my website, order my book from the another Caribbean island and they can easily just have it sent to them.
There's so much logistics to think about.
And every time I think about it, I just wonder, why is it so difficult? Right? We should have this infrastructure set up so that it can just be sent. It can be easily bought. But we're not there yet. But that's something that I am making my mission. And I was thinking about this just last night.
I didn't even think about it from that perspective, even as an author myself. I didn't even think about the other islands.
Yeah. I mean, we have Amazon, but Amazon has its restrictions. Because if you, let's say you don't have a car to be able to pay on Amazon. What if you don't want to have it go through customs to get to your island? There should be a system set, and that's something that I'm going to be working on, where it's just the Caribbean, can then we can just go in between each other. Because, and I was thinking about it last night, and it really occurred to me, you know, sometimes you get older and you don't even realize that you've created new dreams for yourself just from the work that you're doing. And I realized that this has become a dream of mine, that I want to be able to have that open connection with authors all around the Caribbean, where we can just promote each other, share each other's books, and it's seamless. So that's going to be one of the biggest missions for me.
I like that. One Caribbean, one momentum.
Yeah. Making my taglines for my man.
All right. So on that note, building a publishing company from the ground up is no small feat. Mm. So we just touched on like one of the challenges we have in the Caribbean. Overall, what would you say other challenges you face in this journey, and how have you overcome them?
Right. I think the way I operate, it's not like a regular publishing company. I don't sell dreams, you know? Authors will come to me, all aspiring authors will come to me with dreams of grandeur. I think one of the most difficult things is to bring them back to earth, but in a way that doesn't crush their dreams. Because as much as you want to put this book out there and sell 100,000 copies in the first year, I have to give them the realistic lay of the land, you know? Mm-hmm. It's sometimes very difficult if you are a writer and that's what you're good at, to then say, hey, you have to now have all these other aspects in play to make it work properly. You need to have a brand. You need to have a social media presence. You need to have some aspects of sales knowledge. You know, you might actually need to have a business that all this goes through. These are not things that they're accustomed to thinking about. So, and I don't operate in a way where you say, hey, this is my book manuscript. Let's do this. And I just publish it and leave you there. Nah, I'm the type that you tell me, this is my manuscript. Then I ask, okay, so like, what are your goals for yourself? What are your goals for your book? What are your goals for your business? Because the answers to those are going to now exact what we do with this campaign. And if it does not line up well enough, I'm not going to feel comfortable doing this, because I do not want a situation where I publish for you and then you just have a book there, you have a set of copies, nothing selling, and you're sad. I don't want that for anybody. You know, so I make sure that, hey, understand that this is more than just I am putting out a book. You have to be in tune.
It's a business in of itself.
Yeah, it is. So if you know you don't fill certain gaps within what needs to get done, you have to find individuals who can help make it a better reality for you. You can lean on my company and what we do, but at the end of the day, it's still your book, it's still your work, it's still your art. You have to take a level of responsibility for it. Because again, I don't want anybody to set that book out into the world and it does not get its fair share.
So when would you say someone should consider writing a book? Of course, there's no perfect time to write one, but what are the key indicators? Let's say someone isn't sure now is the right time. What would be some signs that someone should look for to be like, you know, maybe I should really consider, or not just consider, but now is the right time for me to write a book?
I mean, see, I'm biased. I will say anytime, any age, anywhere, because we just have too much access. I think why I believe that there's a book in everyone, because no matter the genre, no matter the page count or the content, there will never be a book written with a unique signature of you. So no matter what it is, if you say it have self-help books out there, what are you writing one for? You've never written one. It have romantic novels out there, what are you writing that for? Again, you have never written one. And I think just the most difficult part for persons is the writing part. There's a level of course, you know, discipline and difficulty of writing and what to write and these kind of things. But the phobia, the fear of doubting yourself, of saying, well, who am I to write this? I don't know any author who hasn't experienced that whilst writing, wondering like, who am I to write this book?
Some people might think, well, I don't have a good command of the English language. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. What would you say to persons like that?
I would say to you, your manuscript goes through such a journey that you will be shocked at how much it changes. So, for example, when I wrote my first book, that manuscript was, oh my God, it was terrible. It was not pretty. But luckily, that is just phase one. Phase two is you have a professional editor go through your book. The first wave of editing they do is developmental editing. And it is like an English teacher giving you a report on an essay that you did. They're basically outlining, okay, these are the structural changes that you need to make for your book. This is how it can flow better so that it sounds more like a book. And you take these very detailed notes and you go back through your manuscript and you make the needed changes. And once you're done with that, the editor will then do all the regular editing, line and copy, which involves grammar, syntax, commas, all those things that we might miss, so that it becomes a book. Because when I tell you, that manuscript I started off with versus the manuscript I got once it was finished, edited by a professional editor, night and day. So when you're writing your book and you're wondering, gosh, this is not sounding great, this is not necessarily flowing the way I want, just know, once it's edited, it's going to be on a whole nother level, and you will get that assistance to make it real.
So what would you say to the person, because I know this is a very real thing for some, right? Mm-hmm. You're talking about, okay, it goes through an editor, but some people might be fearful or have a certain level of shame, maybe mm-hmm. some, you know, they had a bad education experience, whether it's primary school, secondary school, and they feel a bit of trauma there. What would you say to that person to encourage them to release that?
That's so funny, because I was the exact same way. When I had the idea for my first book, the first thing I thought of was when I had an English essay that I had to do.
People might just remember all the marks on their paper and think, no, I can't write a book.
Yeah, and the teacher went up to the class and said, yo, Daniel, come to the class. This was the worst essay I've ever read in my life. You have to do better. I have, to this day, I never forget that.
That's an important story to be told. I'm so glad I asked that question.
Yeah. That I will never, ever, ever forget that. I think I was in form five. Imagine a form five.
That's worse yet.
Worse yet. And she said, this was the most unoriginal story I've ever read. You have to do better. And she started reading bits of it. And I was mortified. And imagine you want to write a book and that is the first thought that comes into your mind. Luckily, I mean, I showed her. But I think it's a reality though. Like aspiring authors have to understand, when you write, I mean, you're putting out your work, you know, it's up for criticism. People will see it. They will say X, Y, Z things. True. There's a reality that you kind of have to come to, that not everyone will like your book. And that is completely fine, because your book is not for everyone. A book for millennials. I had a baby boomer read it, and they said, "Hey, this is terrible. Like, I don't relate with this. Why are you putting this out there?" I said, "I understand. You know, this book is not for you. I'm sorry that you didn't enjoy the experience, but it is what it is." And then I have millennials reaching out to me and saying, "Yo, you are reading my mind. This is all the experiences I've gone through. I never understood why I did this, and this is creating a path for me to do better." And that's because your book will be for some persons and your book won't. So you have to toughen up, boy, honestly, because you have to get comfortable with knowing that a piece of you is going to be out there and people will receive it in different ways. But take solace in knowing that when it's in the right hands, the impact that you can have on somebody's growth, their development, their creativity will make it all worth it. I remember last year, I got an email from this girl from Iran.
Wow.
Yeah. She bought a copy of the book on Amazon, read it, and she said, "Yo, this changed my life. I I am screaming this book to the top of the world. Like, she shared it with all her friends. She offered to have it translated into their local language because she thought that this is something that everybody should read. And that was a time when I just felt like, oh, is this book doing well? And da da da. And when I saw that email, it just made me realize, even if one person gets value from it, it's worth it. Because that feeling that you get that you've created impact, it's really second to none.
Yeah, I definitely understand where you're coming from. Like, when you know that something you've put out there is making impact on just one person, it feels so much worth it. And we know it has impacted way more than one person.
Yeah.
So this is a really good thing you're doing here.
Thank you.
You actually touched on my other questions, because we did touch on why should someone publish a book, mm-hmm. and the benefits of being an author. If there's anything else you wanted to say on those points.
I read this very interesting book after I launched my first book. It was called Key Persons of Influence by a guy named Daniel Priestley. And I think it really helped put things in perspective, because he talked about, I love that book. I use that book as like a Bible after I read it. Basically, when you split your things, I think it's 5 P's, right? I think the first one was your pitch. So like how you put across what your message or what you're selling to individuals is put across, right?
Mm-hmm.
But one of the levels was basically publish. And it spoke to the fact of putting out books, putting out articles, putting out journals. And when you look at the stepwise way he put everything, it's like, okay, you have pitch, then you publish, then you have products, and then you have your profile. All these things underneath here, build your profile, meaning that persons can find you online, can find your digital footprint, can find you on social media and all these ways. When you start building all these things, now you get to partnerships where you have more persons who see you as, hey, you're doing things. Let's work together to create even bigger things. It just made me realize it's all a system. You know, you want to be a better business owner. It makes sense. You nurture your pitch. So when somebody hears it, they just think, oh, wow, you want to open the Caribbean to books? Let's, to authors, let's do this. You know, and then you have the books, because this will not be the only book. It'll be a series of books on things dealing with what authors need to know. Thinking, oh, okay, yeah, like I see you as a niche leader. I see you bring value. You have your products that surround the ecosystem of your thing, because you want to be able to meet people at different level, whether they want to watch your content and they learn from that free, whether they want to pay a little bit, read the book, get a little bit more value, whether they want to take a little course,
workshops,
you know, or do a workshop, or whether they want to do one of your higher paid services that help them in a more holistic way, like publishing.
Right.
You're basically, you know, creating this ecosystem where now you're making this footprint of who you are as an individual.
And currently you are living that same framework.
Yeah,
right?
he just cleared it out.
Yeah. So that has been a really impactful book for you. And speaking of partnerships, could you discuss any partnerships or collaborations your publishing company has formed and how they have contributed to your mission?
Yeah. I mean, people will only see the publishing company. They won't see what's behind all of that. I have a full editorial team. I have, it's like 5 to 6 editors. I need these individuals when it comes to like being able to make people's books actually a book. So, and again, you think manuscript, there are different types of books, self-help, nonfiction, poems, kids' books. I need to be able to find individuals to help on all these different aspects of things, you know? We're talking about book-specific graphic artists needed, because when someone sees a book cover, that it can be the make or break on if they even want to pick it up. So it's very important to have someone who knows how to do that. Well, you know about that because you do that service as well. So you know.
Yes.
You need to have persons who can do that well. And then you're talking about like marketing, because once that book is done, I always tell authors the biggest problem is obscurity. Nobody knowing about your book. You have to have some kind of plan on how it's going to get out there. So this is why I have partnerships with like Avalon and her company, Avell Agency, because again, I don't want to put someone in a position where they just have the book out there and that's it. There needs to be a next step. There needs to be more, right? And I realized this through this whole process of trying to impact people and doing the publishing and whatnot. You just tend to gravitate to those organizations that are doing similar. So we would have had conversations with Nalis. They're interested in being partners with us because, of, again, they are the gateway to books. And and there's so many questions that persons have. You need their presence there. Been chatting with Bookers Lit Fest because they are doing amazing work out there. And I want to be able to add to that so that we can build this ecosystem. We had an excellent conversation with the Intellectual Property Office. Yeah. I have been trying to figure out where they were, how does it work, all these different things. So I was so happy that that conversation happened because what I would say the top three questions I get from authors are, how do I protect my work? How do I send my book to somebody and know that they won't steal it? That is a common thread. So I'm so happy that they are partnering with us on the conference and they will be sending information on what authors need to know and how to properly do things, because that one thing, I feel like if you come to the conference and don't get any value at all, you see that one little piece of information that you get about intellectual property and your books could change everything for you, right? So and that's just the beginning, you know, because my goal is really to start partnering with bookstores more, not just in Trinidad, but around the Caribbean, so that I can start working on this network so that when persons have books, they can easily get around the Caribbean. Right? And I don't want to spoil the other stuff because, you know, it have a lot of things in
work. Just stay tuned.
Just stay tuned because this is just the first, this is just the first conference and there are many more to come.
Okay. Oh my gosh, I'm really looking forward to it. I cannot wait. So I like to close out by just doing some rapid fire questions. Rapid fire questions. What's your go-to comfort food?
Go-to comfort food is bus up shot. I love me some roti, but woof.
All right. If you could have any superpower, what would it be?
Oh God, easy teleportation. You'll find me all over the world. I ain't paying no fees.
Beach or mountains?
Beach. Oh God. Listen, I live 10 minutes away from the beach. Love me the beach.
Oh, I envy you.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite book of all time? Aside from your own books, of course.
I would top three it. I'll put Daniel Priestley's Key Persons of Influence, 5 a.m. Club, because I love that for building routines. And I would say the Robert Kiyosaki book on Richard Porter, because I think it helped me at a young age to decide that I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I think if I didn't read that, I would have just been, let me put me in a corporate. I might be a doctor right now. Yeah.
Early bird or night owl?
Early bird. Catch me going to bed 9 o'clock in the morning. 9 p.m. I'm waking up 4 a.m. That's my time.
Favorite hobby outside of writing and publishing?
Basketball. Love me. I am a basketball pyong.
Tea or coffee?
Coffee boy, because I need it anymore.
One thing on your bucket list you haven't checked off yet?
I want to do bungee jumping, even though I know it's going to terrify the crap out of me.
Exciting.
Mm.
Favorite vacation destination?
So I've always wanted to do the over the water bungalows in Jamaica. I think they have it in Jamaica and St. Lucia.
Oh, yes.
Like you get your own butler. It's like you have your own little space and you can just, oh God, that I see that and it's just like, oh, beach, hammock, everything. That's a dream of mine. I have to do that at least once in my life.
That's beautiful. Last question. If you could meet any author, who would it be?
I would want to meet J.K. Rowling, you know, because even if I haven't read the books, I just feel like I want to learn, like the whole experience. Yeah, story. Yeah. I think would just make me want to do the impossible, to be honest with you.
All right, cool. All right, Daniel. So thank you so much for being here. Tell us anything else that we need to know about the conference, where to purchase tickets, dates, and any other plug that you want to plug. Now is the time.
Yes. So the first Caribbean Author Conference is going to be on April the 23rd, which is World Book Day. So it is a Tuesday. I'm sorry, guys, but it's a special day, so I had to put it on a Tuesday. And it goes from 4 to 10 p.m. So from 4 to 7, we will have an author village. I've created a space for authors to set up for free to promote and sell their books. So that is the first section. And then from 7 to 8:45, we have the conference portion. So there will be information on all the different aspects of self-publishing, writing, editing, all of that. We'll have author panels. We'll have a resource panel. Casio will be on that panel, giving all that value. And we'll have different pieces of information being shared from like the IP office, for example, and all that intellectual property information that you need. And then after that, we'll just be mixing, mingling, getting to know persons within the community, chatting with all the different resources that you can get that help. And of course, I'll be launching my book, my new book, How to Write and Self-Publish as an Aspiring Caribbean Author. I'm very proud of this cover, by the way. It was supposed to take 4 days. It took a month, but I think it's worth it because it's really giving us that feel of
that Caribbean feel.
Yeah, that was what I was really trying to go for. So everyone that attends the conference will be getting a copy of that in the goodie bag with other items.
Oh, nice.
As we are doing it in Central Bank Auditorium, the space is semi-limited, so try to get your tickets as soon as possible, because once it locks off, you will really only have access to the free portion, which is the 4 to 7, which is the author village. Persons can get tickets by going to ompublishing.org. We have access to the publishing there. If you want to join the author village or the author community, you can do so via that means. Of course, if it is you just want to have a conversation, you know, I'm using my phone right now. I'm trying to figure out where's my phone to find me to give the number, right? Because you can basically give us a little WhatsApp shout or call at 495-2964. The number again is 495-2964. So that's the business number. You can reach out to us and say, hey, I want to join the community. You know, we brief you and put you on the group on Facebook or the one on WhatsApp. Or we can sign you up for the author village if it is you want to provide that space there. Of course, space is limited, so it's kind of first come, first serve. Or if you just want to chat, you know, you have a book manuscript, you want to put it out there, you need some self-publishing help, we can assist you with that. We can do it for you. It's just different ways. Also, you can follow us on social media, on Instagram, TikTok, it's OM Publishing. On LinkedIn as well, One Momentum Publishing. So there are many ways you can reach out to us. You can DM us, call us, WhatsApp us, go on your website. There are many ways you can have access to us.
That is excellent. Anybody who is considering being an author, already an author, you're looking to get added support, this is the one place to go, because you have so much value to give from the conference, the Facebook group, WhatsApp group, free aspect of the conference, the paid aspect. Like, there's nowhere else you really should be going at this point. You come here and it has it all. This has really been a great conversation. Thank you for sitting down with me and sharing all that you are about, everything about the conference, everything about books, everything about being a Caribbean author. It really is very potent and rich, and people have a ton of value to get. All the information that he just mentioned will be linked in the show notes below. So yeah, just get in touch. Like, you have no excuse to be searching anywhere else, you know, because like you come to the conference or we come to you, and you are just that one-stop shop. Okay, I need information on Nalis, so whatever it is, you already have those connections and collaborations.
And just to point out to people, it's so funny because I told my friend, she's like, how much to pre-order the book? I said, 150 TT. She said, how much to attend the conference? I said, 150 TT. She said, but the math's not matching. And I get a copy when I come to the conference. She's like, yes. So, because for me,
that's
it's
why
not,
you should come.
Yeah, it's not so much about the money. I just want that space. I want that one-stop shop, and it should be affordable for everybody, which is why the pre-order price is just the price for everything. Conference or to get the book. I want to make it very, very, very easy, because again, I always think back to when I was coming up my first book, all the resources I wish I had, and this is something that I wish I had back then. So I want to make it easy for everyone.
You are definitely doing that, and you are on a very good mission. I want to thank you on
behalf
of everyone who's already listening, that I am truly inspired by the work that you're doing.
Waiting for your book, Cassia. Waiting for it.
Well, you've inspired me, so it will come.
Excellent. And thank you so much for having me on.